How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locking in for episode 106 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes and search Locked On Thunder to subscribe to the podcast there, and you can leave a review once you're on that page also. Find us on audioboom.com, too, and log on to normantranscript.com to check out my blog, Thunder Road. It's under the sports tab on the site, and you can find all my Thunder coverage there. I'm on every day of the week, Monday through Friday, obviously. Last show of the week right now before I take a quick break over the weekend. Thunder dropped both their games this week, one in Portland, one in Utah, although I guess the Sunday game counts. But today, got a guest, not really going to be talking basketball, talking more of the off-court stuff. And to join me is, you have officially tied Royce. It's John Hamm for his sixth visit on the show.
Yes!
Congratulations.
Suck it, young.
It's a huge moment.
Kind of is. I'm updating LinkedIn as soon as this is done.
So, John, you're aware, maybe some of my listeners are aware, only vaguely aware, that we could have had a looming lockout today. We're recording this on Thursday the 15th. Today was the deadline for either side, the players or the owners, able to opt out of the current CBA. And they announced on Wednesday they were going to extend that deadline to January 13th, that they'd agreed to a tentative, they've come to a tentative deal on a new CBA. And the reason that deadline was extended was just so players and owners could have time to look it over before they vote on it and ratify the actual document. But we've got a new CBA, and we've got some new rules to learn. You know what the worst part of a new CBA is?
Learning the new rules?
Yes. Like, it took me 5 years to learn that other CBA. And now I got to do it again. I feel like 92% of this job is just learning laws, and that's it. Like, how much easier? And I'm not one of those people who, like, there are some people who think that this stuff should be less complicated and there should be fewer rules, and it's a game and it's a sport and it should be easier to understand. And I get that, but when there are billions of dollars changing hands, lawyers are going to be involved. My brother's in law school. Like, I feel like my brother could do my job better than me just because he's in law school at this point.
And look, you know, the reality is, sure, they could try to make this stuff simpler, but it's like the game of basketball. How many rules are in the game of basketball? And how many people would say, well, that's too complicated. You need to eliminate the double dribble. You need to eliminate 3 seconds in the paint. But they're all in there for a reason. Same thing with the salary cap rules. It's the business of basketball. All the rules are in there for a reason, to try to put in, to try to encourage some semblance of competitive balance in the league.
They did not add an infield fly rule to this one, which I was worried about. I thought they were going to make it really complicated with that. We're not going to talk about everything that's been reported new in the CBA, because honestly, that would take hours probably. And, not everything has been reported, and they haven't sent out a document. They've come to a tentative agreement. It's not like the CBA is a secret. When it comes out, it's a public document. Anybody can read it, which means that anybody can attempt to understand it. The best way to do it, if you're curious about rules and that kind of stuff, let's give some good follows quickly for people too, because like, this is not normal mainstream stuff. So Larry Kuhn is, John, I know you'll agree with me, he's the best.
Oh, yeah.
Eric Pincus is also excellent at this stuff. Nate Duncan, Danny LaRue, who I've had on the show a few times also, is they're great at this kind of stuff. And anybody else, John?
Tim Bontemps is a good follow. Of course, Mark Stein is going to be getting information. Zach Lowe, you know, those guys are going to be getting information pretty quickly and getting it out there. And, you know, these are guys that have a really good grasp of everything.
I like how Woj doesn't even come up, because it just implied that if you're listening to Locked On Thunder, you know of Woj.
Well, when you create a Twitter account, you automatically follow Woj. I don't know if you knew that or not.
It's like when you discuss the best basketball players ever and you just don't even mention Michael Jordan.
That's right. Yeah. It's assumed that you know of that existence. So I doubt anyone's out there going, who's Woj? Why do they keep talking about this Woj guy? Everyone knows Woj.
So let's discuss of the many, many new rules that will enter. Maybe the biggest rule in relation to the Thunder, maybe the most important one for them and the way that they're going to operate over the next few years. And that's the designated veteran, which in short is basically under the current rules, you weren't really able to extend a veteran guy you weren't able to go to the lengths that you're going to be able to now to be able to extend a veteran guy. You're going to be able to extend a veteran up to 6 years, which is something you couldn't do. You're going to be able to do it when you can go over the cap and you can still give him his full max. So, John, let's discuss how that's going to affect the Thunder. Why don't you cite us on this one?
You remember the scene from The Wedding Singer, the popular, you know, that's information I could have used yesterday?
Yes.
Sam Presti is screaming, this is a rule I could have used 2 years ago. Because, yeah, the 2011 agreement really hampered the ability to do veteran extensions. And if the Thunder would have had the ability to jump in and offer a long-term lucrative extension to Durant, obviously they would have. And if Durant would have declined it, that might have set them down a different path, rather than winding up losing him into free agency. So, yeah, with all that said, from what it sounds like, teams will be able to pick up to two players that if they meet certain criteria, and we don't know what all it is yet, it's probably going to involve all NBA status and, you know, potentially all-star votes. I don't know what else. They will be able – the team will be able to offer a five-year extension to that player up to 35% of the salary cap, so basically the mega max amount, and basically kind of get that contract in front of the player a year before he becomes a free agent. So let's take Russell Westbrook, for example. His 2017-18 salary is locked in, $28.5 million. But it sounds like the Thunder in July, even though they just extended him, will be able to go to him and say, we want you to sign for 5 years at max money. Here's the contract. And he could, you know, sign this now, bypass free agency, and we all go about our merry day.
And he gets the maximum amount of money. It's not like if he waits it out, he gets more in free agency. And that's
correct.
That's a big thing. Like with extensions, you can also be above the salary cap and make those signings, at least reportedly. And again, this is all reportedly because they haven't released the documents yet. They're not official. They're not signed. They're not ratified yet. So this is all based on reports from very reliable people from the Zach Lowe's and the Mark Steins and the Woj's and the David Aldridge's. These are people who get this stuff right. So we can talk about this stuff intelligently and analytically. But that was one of the big things about – that was one of the reasons good players almost never signed extensions. And it was because so look at the Thunder. The Thunder couldn't operate this summer because they wanted to sign Russell Westbrook to an extension. First of all, they were only allowed to extend him up to 3 years. Now they can sign him to a much longer deal than that. But they were only allowed to extend him up to 3 years, and you had to be under the salary cap by whatever was the difference in his pay raise. So his salary was going up a little bit less than $9 million. So the Thunder needed to stay a little bit less than $9 million under the salary cap in order just to be able to sign him to an extension by rule. And that's something because of that, they couldn't really have an offseason. They had to renounce Deion Waiters. They couldn't really sign anybody. They brought in Alex Abrines and that was it. And they had to operate a lot more fiscally conservatively because of that rule, because they obviously needed Westbrook to re-sign. Now, if Westbrook were going to re-sign earlier, then that makes things easier, but that's not his fault. Like, he's got to think about himself and think about his own life and whether he wants to re-sign or not and go through that process. And that's fine. Like, that's the way it should work. But now all of a sudden, this is a different scenario. Teams, you know, if a team wants to extend somebody, if someone's in that Thunder position, they don't have to feel like the not knowing whether or not someone like Westbrook wants to extend, that doesn't have to handcuff an organization's decision-making throughout an offseason because you can extend them no matter where you are in relation to the salary cap.
Correct. And also, it sounds like, too, Tim Bontemps reported that if a player is traded, then the new team cannot use the designated veteran extension rule thingy on that player. So, in other words, if Russell Westbrook this summer said, thanks, that's a lot of money, I want to wait till free agency. There's really no benefit for him to do that, as we just mentioned. So then the Thunder could say, well, then we're going to have to shop you around. And if they traded him, his new team would not be able to extend him out. They would have to let Westbrook go to free agency and, you know, sign him that way.
John, I just want to take a quick second to talk about SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for the football or basketball games you want to see up close and in person this season. There's nothing like being in the stadium for the biggest games of the year and the biggest plays of the year. And with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the guaranteed seats you want for a great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats for this weekend's or this week's or any games this season. With SeatGeek, you can always get the best deal on every ticket because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest available price. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck, too. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Plus, every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Best of all, my listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the Settings tab, and click Add a Promo Code. Enter the promo code LOTHUNDER. That's L-O, like locked on, and SeatGeek is going to give you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LOTHUNDER today.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily Oklahoma City Thunder podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It's also a tool that really helps teams, teams figure out whether or not a guy truly wants to stay. Because look, if a guy can still get the same amount of, if a guy doesn't want to extend for less money, that doesn't mean that he doesn't want to stay. You know, it's
right.
It's tough to figure that stuff out. And then once they get into free agency, anything can happen. You know, they can be wooed by another team. Something can happen with the team that they're already on that changes their mind. Like there are a million, they're people. Like a million different things can happen to change that scenario. But if someone doesn't want to extend for something that gives them the maximum amount of money that they can make, that allows an organization to say, ooh, you know what? Like if he's not extending for the most amount of money he can get, then there are other variables here that we have to consider. And that's when all of a sudden you think, all right, maybe it's not worth holding on to this guy for the final year of his deal. Maybe we do have to make a trade and get something back for someone so that, you know, we don't end up losing that guy for nothing.
Right. So I think this could be, like you said, it's kind of a clarity tool for teams that have superstars because they're going to be able to take the same contract they could offer next summer but offer it a year early. And if you're not signing it, that's not a good omen. And so then now the team can go ahead and make its other preparations.
Anything else in this agreement? I'm sure there are a million different things, but I shouldn't say anything else because I know there are other things. But what else in these reports have caught your eye?
Yeah, you know, stuff is still leaking out slowly but surely. And you talked about, you know, the difficulty in having to relearn all these rules. It really sounds like there's not a lot of drastic change this time around. It reminds me of 2005, how it was basically like the 1999 agreement with a few modifications. 2011 was a complete new system that, again, took us 5 years to figure out. So the stuff that's leaking out, Sports Illustrated is reporting that trade rules will be quote-unquote liberalized. And I don't know exactly what that means, but there has been a push for, you know, matching up salaries in a trade a lot looser than it is. So maybe it's something like that. Luxury tax penalties will be softened for some teams, according to Sports Illustrated. There was the idea was floated around that they might reset the repeater tax penalty, which is awfully convenient for a team like Cleveland at this point. So it's those little tweaks there that I'm curious to see those fleshed out and see what those really mean.
Do you follow Albert I might be mispronouncing his name, but Albert Namad.
I absolutely do. Albert Random One.
Yes. He is also, he's the best. He is, I don't even know who he is, but he is a great follow.
Someone in the Miami area, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he does a lot of Heat stuff, but he does around the league stuff. He's fantastic. Like, if you're a basketball fan, especially if you're like a nerdy basketball fan who loves getting into knit and grit in the league, he's an absolute must follow. He's fantastic. Anyway, he talked about this morning. So he said, here are his two tweets. I hope I haven't misinterpreted, but per Brian Windhorst, that's ESPN's Brian Windhorst, there will no longer be an adjusted calculation for max salaries. It's now the same percentage as the cap calculation. Which means that max salaries are going to be a little bit higher.
Right.
Which that was something that people had speculated about, in part because so much of the leadership in the NBPA right now is max guys and LeBron and Carmelo and Chris Paul. And it's really the first time we've seen that many max guys in a position of power. And that's something that we talked about. But it made me think of something, which I thought was in relation to the Thunder. Extending Steven Adams for a specific number for $100 million, even though, you know, a max contract was barely supposed to be higher than that, right? Like his max was what, 106 at the time? Now his max is higher than that.
Right.
So all of a sudden you're getting a guy like Steven Adams for, I don't know exactly what the calculation is now, but it's a little bit higher than 106. And you're gonna be getting him for a little bit less than that before. You know, retroactively, they'd be able to say, all right, well, max contract now, you thought it was going to be 106. Now it's going to be whatever it is, greater than 106. And those teams, like the Steven Adams contract looks better now because he's getting a max contract come free agency this year if he's a free agent. And for restricted, he's getting that offer. Giannis Antetokounmpo, like that contract, getting him for 100. Rudy Gobert getting him for 101. Those rookie extensions, those look great right now.
Absolutely. So if we assume a salary cap of $102 million, 25% of that would be a starting salary of $25.5 million. Steven Adams' first-year salary is $22.4, so about $3 million knocked off of that, and then there's obviously savings realized going forward. So I am ecstatic because prior to 2011, max salaries were 25%, 30%, or 35% of the salary cap. In 2011, it wasn't exactly that. I always had to use like 23% and 27.5%, you know, some weird number. And then trying to explain that in an article was always, you had to waste a paragraph explaining some mundane calculation that they use. And they've just gone back and said, nope, it's a percentage of the salary cap, and I'm going to be happy about that.
Yeah. Oh, man. I didn't even think about the fact that we don't even have to explain the way that max salaries are calculated anymore.
Bonus. Win for us.
That's a DeMontis bonus right there.
Oh, Fred.
That is fantastic. So I got into my first Twitter war with an NBA player today.
Is it still ongoing or is the...
With Josh, I think I dropped the mic. I think it's over. I think I dropped the mic punning his name, and now it's done. I'm gonna have to talk a lot of crap when I see him at the game on Saturday.
I can't. I hope I'm able to be in the locker room when you two, like, the eyes meet. I want to see this interaction. I want to see this throwdown.
It's gonna happen. The Thunder are coming after my Twitter. So Josh tweeted at my Rudy Gobert pun that I should delete my account. and Enes Kanter started off. You were there. Enes Kanter started off availability after the game the other night and has said this to me on many occasions by looking at me during the scrum when I was about to tweet out something that he said, saying, Fred, get off Twitter, man. You're always on Twitter. Stop tweeting so much. So maybe I think the Thunder are coming after my Twitter. I don't know who's next, but I have a feeling that someone's going to be next.
Probably Thunder PR.
Oh, Thunder PR is already. They loved it. Tumbleson lost it when Enes said that. Tumbleson was... No joke, Tumbleson was actually crying because he was laughing so hard when Enes looked at me. And I looked at him, I was like, I think you're laughing too hard at this. Right. I think the fact that you're laughing so hard says way too much about me that I really don't want to analyze.
Clearly, this was a topic of conversation at one point, right?
Well, they say to me all the time because that I tweet too much. So
yeah,
I think I think they were all for that comment. Let me ask you a question. Were you expecting? I mean, obviously, in the last month or two or something like that, it seemed like an increasing possibility that this deal was going to get done. But 6 months ago, 8 months ago, were you expecting a deal to get done? Did you think there was going to be someone was going to opt out?
I followed the lead of Zach Lowe and Howard Beck. They set up Optimist Island about the new agreement, and all the indications were very positive. You know, I think back to 2011, there was so much toxic stuff like 2 years in advance where there were indications like this is going to be bad. I didn't get that vibe this time around. So I remained on Optimist Island even when Carmelo Anthony came out a few days ago in a mild form of public negotiation, I guess, and tried to make it sound like that things were on the rocks. But all the indications were that this was going to get done. It made a lot of sense for both sides because with the increased money coming in, you know, both sides were still making money hands over fist, and there was really no reason to hit the brakes and, you know, for one side to try to scrape more money away from the other one.
Here's something that I wonder. I wonder with the new rules if the Thunder are going to be on airplanes more.
So they
here's
might.
here's my little theory, and it's not conspiracy. I mean, it's a thought out theory. It's not a crazy thing. So the preseason is being shortened to a maximum of 6 games from 8 games. And they're starting the regular season a week earlier than they do. So like 2017 season is starting like October 18th or something like that. So they're starting earlier and they're spreading out the season more. And there are going to be fewer back-to-backs, and that's great. Like I, along with a million other basketball writers, have written about that, right? Mm-hmm. And that's great. It's one of the things they've been trying to do, try to eliminate as many back-to-backs as possible. But when you eliminate back-to-backs, now it'll be a little different because they're extending the actual length of the season while keeping it to 82 games, so it'll be easier to eliminate some back-to-backs. But one of the things that they've done in recent years, in eliminating back-to-backs, you're also eliminating stretches where you have 2, 3, 4 consecutive off days. Like, it's got to eat into something, right? And as they continue to eliminate back-to-backs, I wonder with those eliminated off days, like the Thunder are the second most Eastern Western Conference team. And because of that, like they have a lot more one-off road games this year with Eastern Conference teams than they have. But like most teams, for example, when they go to New York, a lot of teams, they'll play the Nets and the Knicks in one swoop. And then they'll go to Washington. They'll go to Boston. Right. They'll knock out 3 or 4 of those. If you're in like California or something, you'll knock out 3 or 4 of those cities. The Thunder like went to New York and they're on their way back. Then they go to New Orleans, they go to Boston, then they're on their way back. Like that's the way their schedule is because they're very centrally located in the very east inside of the Western Conference. And I wonder as they continue to eliminate more and more back-to-backs, it seems to me like they're going to be the team that's going to get hit with a lot of one-offs. And that's just geographical. There's nothing you can do with that. But I feel like, and I don't know if they're going to travel the most miles. I forget which team it is that always travels the most miles. I think it's Portland.
That was my first thought, yeah.
Yeah, I think every year Portland travels more miles than any other team. But I think it's possible that like the Thunder and the Pelicans end up on airplanes more than any other team. Like they have more flights throughout the season than
any Memphis.
Other team. Yeah, Memphis as well. So I guess the Thunder are the third most Eastern Western Conference team. Like those three teams all have very similar relationships with the Eastern Conference. And I feel like that's another thing that's going to change. And that's not a bad thing or a good thing. It's just kind of another effect of the CBA. Like you travel a little bit more, you're traveling on a charter. So it's better than the way that's the way that I think, because I'm going to have to travel more. So
right.
I'm not traveling on a charter.
Thanks a lot, geography. Geography lets us down once again.
Yeah. If only the Norman transcript had its own personal plane.
Well, you keep this up and they will soon enough.
Fred Katz building planes. Is that going to be my
motto? All the clicks they're getting these days, there's got to be a massive inflow of cash there.
God, how many clicks to build a plane? Think about how many clicks that is.
That
it's like a weird Tootsie Pop commercial.
That is.
All right, John, we had to do a short one today because I have to go to I have to attend a Thunder event right about now. But let's like do a follow-up next week when we're a little bit more sure on the rules. I haven't even asked you if you want to do a follow-up.
I do. I always do.
I'm just assuming that if you do, then you can jump ahead of Royce.
Cool. Yes.
I'm going to have to make like pins for you guys. You can wear like a more frequent than Royce.
That's right. And we could just the more frequent pin that we can pass back and forth.
Yeah, Royce can wear one
jockey.
Yeah. Royce can wear one that says like I'm the voice, and you can wear one that says like I'm a ham.
Right. Cuz I am.
You are a ham. All right, tell the people where they can find you.
I am on Twitter at John M. Ham. I'm writing for Bleacher Report. I'm on the radio 107.7 The Franchise in Oklahoma City.
And tell the people about the basketball show, because that's a thing that's happening real soon, right?
We have got Jerry Ramsey and I have got a preview show coming up this Saturday, because there's, I don't know, like holidays and stuff the next couple of weekends, apparently. So we're gonna have a show this Saturday. We got a few new things we're going to try out. And then 1st of January, we should be a regular Saturday staple. Talk basketball.
I hear the backup host you have on that show is like incredible.
I hear he's adequate.
I hear he's got a great podcast.
Yes. And I hear we might be relying on him fairly often. So I hope he's aware of that.
I'm excited for this.
Cool.
This is going to be fun. So I'm backupping this. I was on their pregame show and our preseason show. And I'm excited for this. This is going to be fun. It's my first stint in radio since college.
Well, there you go.
It's going to be fun. And also, John, we should make it very clear. I don't want people to be confused about this or anything like that. Like, we should make it very clear that Jerry was not invited to be on today.
Right. Yeah. And and believe me, I will make him very aware of that too, that I was on yet again.
Can we mass text him after this and tell him that you've been on six times and I still haven't had him on?
My next radio segment, I'm bringing this up.
Oh, 100%. I would be genuinely upset with you if you didn't bring it up. We got it. We got to text him after this. We're texting him. I'm tweeting it out. I'm tagging him that I didn't want to invite him onto the show. This is great. I love this. I love that you've been on six times and he hasn't been on once. Well, I go on with the radio with him like 3 days a week.
Maybe Jerry needs to learn the CBA. I mean, look, there's ways, there's avenues for him.
The Canadian Basketball Association?
The Canadian Basketball Association. The old Continental Basketball Association.
Yeah exactly. All right. On that note, you can follow me on Twitter, at Fred Katz. You can – what else can you do? There's so many other things you can do. You can hit me up Wow. I'm forgetting how to read email addresses now. I was going to say at lockedonthunder@gmail.com. You can hit me up, lockedonthunder@gmail.com. You can go to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs. I'm on every day of the week, Monday through Friday. I'm going to be off for the weekend. The Thunder play on Saturday. That's a Phoenix game. I'll talk about that a little bit on Sunday. And then they're heading on the road. After that Phoenix game, 16 out of 21 on the road, starting with New Orleans on what is it? I think that game is on Wednesday, right?
I believe that's right.
Yeah, the 21st. So they got 21st New Orleans, 23rd Boston, and that is when my schedule gets insane because that's when I'm on the road for almost all those games, and I am not going to sleep. So you're going to be getting some tired podcasts over this time.
At least you don't have to play like 40 minutes of competitive basketball, though.
Yes, that is true. Watching is a hot take. Watching basketball is much easier than playing basketball.
Imagine that.
Actually, I don't know if that's true. Like, you know, if it were so much easier to watch basketball, then like Russell Westbrook would be covering the games instead of playing in them, you know?
Sure. Absolutely. That makes perfect sense.
All right. On that note, before Russell Westbrook somehow hears this and then comes to murder me, we're done. Until Monday, Locked on Thunder is locked up.